welcome to the Parallax Perspectives podcast. I want to say welcome back to all our frequent listeners and subscribers tuning back in. Your support is incredible and I highly so much appreciate it. And if this is your first time tuning in, I hope and I trust that you'll love this episode and you'll follow along for the incredible guests that we've already had on the show and all the guests that are coming up also. In this episode, I really want to dive into achieving success through uncertainty. Over the last couple of years, this has become a hot topic, the word uncertain. Uncertain times, uncertainty, all the different changes and things that are happening in the world. I'm not sure that the world's any more uncertain than what it's ever been. Maybe it's just promoted this way, but I truly believe that we're able to use the times, as always, use the time that we have available and the opportunities that come up. I think one of my favorite sayings that came up back in 2019 is, or even 2020, it was like, do not let a crisis go to waste. And I think uncertainty in times of change, another word for change, can be growth. We can't have growth without change. Of course, you can have change without growth. And so that's what this whole conversation is about, is how to achieve success through this uncertainty and even maximize it. Take the opportunities that come through the change, the growth, the discomfort, and really stretching ourselves and stepping into becoming who it is that we can become. We should becoming our potential, if you like. So I'd love to cover a couple of criteria to success, share these with you that I've picked up along the way. I really love them and I love channeling my views, my thoughts and approaches to whether it's business, life, relationships, the things that I want to be taking care of. So firstly, before we open up these criteria, I think it's fair to say everyone has a different perspective on success. And this is normal. We're all going through different stages of our life, different seasons, if you like. I think the way that we perceive success when we're young is different to what success means when we get a bit older. And that's normal. So there's not really, I don't think there's a right and wrong perception of success. I think it's an indicator of where we're at our maturity, levels of maturity, our emotional maturity, a reflection on our values, who it is that we are in this moment. And of course, as we change and grow, success and the perception of success is going to change and grow with us. So for example, I think as we're a bit younger, maybe outcomes, you know, like outcomes in the external world and results, that's what success looks like. You know, whether it's having the good job or having the good income or having the fast car or the house or being with a really beautiful and attractive partner. You know, this is a form of success. And I think a lot of marketing targets this. It's a lot maybe materialistic world. And as we start to achieve that, I think we develop another version of success, and it can start looking like success is, how is it that I can start contributing to others? Have I become the person that is able to really generate and contribute real value into my society and or community or the people that I love to serve? Who is it that I love to serve? And I think this is another really great way to view success. And then we can go beyond that. We can take it even further. And success now is about becoming the version of myself that I really love. And, you know, some people start here for sure, and others take a little bit longer, like myself. It's taken me up until 35 now to even start considering, well, what success means and how I tie that into self-love. And then with that, falling in love with the life that I have, even from right now, not having to change anything and still having the ambition to create more, but really coming from a place of acceptance and love and gratitude for what it is that I've already obtained and achieved in my life. So these are the various ends, and somewhere along the middle, I think they're all really important and a journey to go on. So these are just some of the ways that I view success. And wherever it is that you're at the spectrum, I trust that you're owning it, you love it. And no matter where it is that you're at, these criteria that we're going to dive into throughout this conversation can apply to however it is that you define it. There's no judgment or even encouragement to define it in a way that you need to. As I say, it really depends on what it is that you care about and value at this moment. So as we open up this conversation, criteria for success, I think it's important to recognize anything that we are, any outcomes that it is that we're getting in life requires a strategy. This comes from NLP or neuro-linguistic programming, and I'm sure there's probably other areas that really dial in and focus on this. But any outcome, like whether it's even brushing your teeth, there's a strategy to getting that clean mouthfeel, right? Or learning to drive a car, there's a strategy to driving a car safely. It's probably a strategy to driving unsafely or dangerously as well. Any outcome, and especially any quality outcome that we want in life, it requires a strategy. When we understand the strategy, it means that we can replicate it. But one of the things that I notice is in order to be able to follow a strategy, and especially a successful strategy that will give us what it is that we're really intending and going for, it requires structure. As I grew up in the entrepreneurial world, I started out in affiliate marketing, and I think a lot of people want to exit their corporate jobs or the jobs that they don't like or their old way of living and their lifestyles in the chase of freedom. The problem is, for a lot of people, they are not chasing freedom. They're not a moving towards freedom strategy. It's more of an escapism of structure strategy. Structures of having to go to a 9-to-5 job or whatever the hours are, or the structure of having to follow this certain set of rules, or the structure of having to fit into this type of culture, the structure of having to dress and behave or communicate in a certain way. And we find ourselves in these systems and structures of society that doesn't necessarily align to who it is that we are as individuals. And a lot of people, I guess, aren't even conscious or aware of this is happening. And it just feels uncomfortable within us. And so it looks like we're going after freedom. But a lot of the time, a lot of the cases, I think it's, well, escapism of structure. The thing is without structure, we can never really get freedom. Because structure is what allows us to really see and codify what it is that we're doing successfully. You know, it allows us to scale what it is that we're doing, say in business, on entrepreneurship. We're like, okay, we follow these steps, we get this outcome. How can we scale these steps and get even more of this outcome? It allows us to outsource the things that we're doing. Say again, in businesses or in entrepreneurship or even in lifestyle, you know, like how can we outsource something and get a really great result if we don't know what the steps are in place that are required to be followed to get that that outcome? And I see this all the time when people trying to hire, say, VAs or employees or parts of their life or their business and try to hand it over to someone else. And they get really frustrated that that person isn't getting the outcome that they want. But it comes back to us to understand, well, what's the structure? What's the process? We can't, if we're getting some level of success and we don't know how we're getting it, how are we ever going to be able to replicate it? How are we going to be able to direct our focus on what truly matters? And so this is the real importance of structure and criteria. And just check in with yourself. Like now we're speaking through this kind of process and this level of thinking. I hope and I trust that you can start seeing, okay, well, maybe it's something that we need to fall back in love with. Really appreciate it. Because I know for me and myself and a lot of people that I've worked with, again, it's been escapism and it's kind of going back, okay, I kind of have to fall in love with the mundane. I have to fall in love with that. The consistency of showing up to the bits I don't like. I want to just go and do the fun bits. But the fun bits, again, don't allow us to head in the direction and replicate the success that it is that we want. So another real awesome part of structure, and we're going to get to success in just a moment. I just really want to set the frame on why these criteria are so important, is that structure allows us criteria. It gives us benchmarks. It gives us what we need to focus on and the outcomes at each point of the way. At each point of the system that we have in place, when we have that, it gives us competencies. With competencies, it gives us confidence. Competency equals confidence. So I see this all the time. People go, all right, well, how do I develop confidence? Dan, can you coach me on confidence? I'm like, well, is it that you're just not confident? Or is it that you just don't know what you're doing yet? You don't have the competencies. See, I could coach someone and say, getting more confident at driving. But the first question I would need to ask is, do you know how to drive yet? Are you a good driver? And they're like, well, no, I've never driven a car in my life. So to coach that person on becoming more confident on something as serious as driving a vehicle, that would be very dangerous. It'd be inappropriate for that person to have confidence in doing something that they have no idea about. And then, yeah, we get given the advice, fake it until you make it. And that's ridiculous. What, you're going to go on fake driving a car, just kind of make it up as you go along, having no idea about the dangers of doing some really ridiculous things on the road, and hope you just make it and not make it to the grave with someone else, but just make it as a good driver? And not in all societies, this is not always the case, but hopefully in the majority of the cases, we go and learn how to drive a car under supervision with professional guidance, right? So we know how to do it. And I think this is why we need to learn competencies. And so there is, you know, the driving test has criteria and benchmarks and what it is that you need to successfully be able to do in order to get your driver's license. If we didn't have these series of tests, well, then you'd just be kind of making it up. There'd be no standardization. But don't notice how even before you've got your license and you've become competent, there's a level of confidence in the ability to learn. You're going, okay, I'm pretty good at this step, but I need to get better at this step or this step or this step. It's the same with, say, public speaking or facilitation. I really loved when I was trained in how to stand on stage and manage a room and have a conversation based on the competencies required. I no longer had to fake it. And so this is what a structure gives us. Structure gives us the competencies and what we need to develop and the confidence of how to become the person that we need to become. Because like confidence, I think, is an external perception. We can see someone and look at them and go, okay, they look confident. But internally, I think confidence is an internal feeling of, I've got this, through knowing the competencies required to get the outcome versus, as I mentioned, faking. So with this being said, I wonder, check in with yourself, do you have a strategy or criteria around a decision-making process? Now, leading psychologists and the research suggests that humans make 35,000 decisions every single day. 35,000 decisions every single day. That's what the research shows, leading psychologists. Now, I kind of, you know, me being me, I kind of question this. And I wonder, are they decisions? Are they really decisions? Or are they simply reactions? Now, an unconscious decision is still a decision. And here's where maybe I become a little bit of a conspiracy theorist, since we love these words so much these days, conspiracies. But I kind of wonder, you know, what if our unconscious decisions were made due to the conditioning we got? We got through growing up and the influences that we had by society, our parents, and everything else. Did we really make that decision to begin with? or due to the conditioning and our influences around us, was it or has it already been made for us? And now we are just a conduit to that decision. And it just appears to be us now. I think it's a really important question to be asking and reflecting upon, because if we are just automatically reacting to our world, it's not really us. We're not really taking true charge of our decisions, the way that we're projecting ourselves into the world and we're pushing through in the world, because it's already been made for us. It is reactive based on our condition. A quote from one of my major mentors, Rimi Pearson, she says the number one criteria to success is the ability to navigate uncertainty. And so what I hear that to say is to make decisions in the face of challenge. So let's just check in. Like, what is it that you do when you're really faced with a challenge? How is it that you manage your decision-making criteria? For most people, you know, if you're like the most people, you probably haven't even thought about this conversation. I know I certainly hadn't before I started, you know, I got coaching on this and then started to really learn and develop strategies that's going to help me become more proficient in life. This is a really great conversation. So check in. What is it that you do when you're faced with a really tough decision? And what I mean by a really tough decision is it's like there's no clear right or wrong or this or that. It's a whole lot of ambiguity and gray. How do you manage this tough decision? You know, like, do you ask others for advice? Maybe seek out who is the most confident or certain in their message. Maybe agree with societal norms and expectations. That's pretty normal. Assume legalities are being the only possible option. You have to follow the law, right? The problem with that is the laws change in every area. It's still only based on what societal norms are, what we're collectively, majority kind of have accepted as reasonable standards. Maybe it's just follow the leader. Be a sheep, right? It's fear. It's what most of us do. It's what we've been trained to do. And I think as the world moves in the direction we're heading, it's happening even more. Think less, follow the rules more, fall into line, fall into place. But what's the outcome of this? Really consider, what is the outcome when you follow these principles? What we see over and over again, the outcome is you'll get whatever is important to them. That will be your outcome. And them being, well, whoever it is that you listen to, whoever it is that you follow, whatever advice it is that you followed, you'll get the outcome. Is it in alignment with your outcome? Is it in alignment with who it is that you're becoming? Is it in alignment with who you want to be? Is it in alignment to your values? Is it in alignment to the life that you want to create? And for so many people, it's not. And when we're living out of alignment, it's no wonder that we have, you know, it's not the only cause, but, you know, the depression and people feeling unfulfilled and going, what's wrong with my life? And we've got these midlife crises happening. It's not really surprising. People aren't getting what it is that they want in life and what's going to make them fulfilled and happy and joyful and feeling accomplished and successful. How can it be? You're getting someone else's results. But the bigger question is, of course, and this is a question for another time, is answering all those questions about how it is that you do want to live your life and who it is that you want to become. If you haven't done that yet, that has to always be the starting point. See, I want to give you a story of how, when I first discovered this, was back in 2020. It was lockdown in Melbourne during COVID. Melbourne was one of the first cities in the world to have these really severe lockdowns. I'd already been designing my life and the way that I wanted to live my life and who it is that I want to become. And I knew what my risk tolerances were for various things. And lockdown, being locked up in my little apartment, was really against my values of living. We were being told what to do. Like, well, the fear was being created, the laws and the controls. And with all of this, it was so uncertain. Like the uncertainty was created at such a massive level. And I think this was globally. Like reflecting back, we all came through it. Everyone had, I think, various experiences of it. I don't think it was easy for anyone by any means. But with all this level of uncertainty that was created, certainty was craved at such a high level. I think a lot of people, even people that didn't agree with it or didn't want to follow along with this narrative, still fell into line because they needed that certainty. Again, following what the legality said, rather than going in the direction that they felt called to. Now, being locked up in Melbourne, this is not my outcome. This is not the way I wanted to live my life. And I went in the opposite direction. I went in the direction based on what was important to me. It was really hard to do that. Like, you could be sitting here and going, well, that's very irresponsible, Daniel. I get it. I appreciate it. No judgment whatsoever. You can judge me for what it is and how it is that you've liked. I got a lot of it. I decided to move to Bali during the pandemic, and it was scary shit. It really was, because it was so uncertain. If I listened to the media, it meant death. It meant death. My brother, he was living in Bali at the time, and he said, you were looking at the newspaper like, dude, what they are promoting of what's happening in Bali is not happening here. Just come over. So I had someone on the ground that was showing me the way, so it gave me a different level of certainty. But I was like, well, you know what? I'm not going to sit here in my apartment and live the way that they tell me that I must. The laws are different there than they are here. So again, I'm not breaking the law. I was just lucky enough to be in Australia on a New Zealand passport that allowed me out. So I went and did it. But like, I got a lot of backlash from people that were close to me and people that weren't close to me. And I was saying, by doing that, I'm going to be spreading COVID and people are going to be dying. And if I get it, I shouldn't be allowed. And the hospitals will give me care, all of that. And I was like, okay, well, like whatever happens to me, I can take responsibility for this. But anyway, I went to Bali. It was incredible. It was like COVID didn't exist there. Of course, I'm not a foil hatter saying it doesn't exist. In fact, I've had COVID 3 times. Very uncomfortable, not pleasant at all. But I went there and I lived a really great life for 2 years. It was the same people. It was really interesting. When I moved there, it was the same people that said, wow, how lucky are you? They were looking at how lucky I was because I was living this great, in quotations, freedom life in Bali. But I was like, seriously? Luck? Luck had nothing to do with it. It took some serious decision-making power, like weighing up the odds, knowing who it is that I am, who it is that I want to be, and stepping into the uncertainty. So it was a really big deal for me. And I was like, luck had nothing to do with it. It was the same people that were choosing not to make decisions in their life that thought I was lucky. But, you know, choosing not to make decisions is still a decision. You know, it's still a decision-making criteria. So I hope and I trust this conversation is starting to land and starting to see how it is that we can be more on the offensive in our life and get on the field, play the game. And I take some risks and really step into who it is that we want to become, where we can be the driver of our own bus through the way that we perceive and shape our lives and step into these uncertainties, into these challenges, and navigate it the best that we can. The beautiful thing about it is the first time round, we're probably going to get bad results or unintended results, I should probably say, or not the most quality results that we wanted. But that's okay, because we got to make some kind of crappy and poor decisions to learn what a good decision is. That's part of the game. I think that never stops in life. So the number one criteria success is to be able to develop the ability to navigate uncertainty, to make decisions in the face of challenge. So how do we do this? I think there's a few different ways to do it, but I've got 3 top areas that I look to, because of course I'm not confident. And well-versed in every area of life. I never will be. I haven't arrived. There's so many areas, like in the areas that I'm good at, I feel confident in the areas that I'm not good at, I'm not confident in, and I got to learn how to navigate that uncertainty just like everyone. And so these are the ways that I look through to take myself on this journey over and over and over again. So the first step is to learn who you are and connect with yourself. The second step is, well, knowing your outcome, why it matters, and who you're becoming. And the third step is developing the mindset required to support you on your path. So step one, what do I mean by learning who you are and connecting with yourself? Well, until you know who you are and what's important to you and why any of it matters, you will always be at the effect of everyone else. You'll always be getting their outcomes. How could that ever be success for you? It just can't be. And if you don't know why it matters, you're never going to take care of it. This is one of the questions that it comes up in coaching all the time. I ask people, you know, somebody, a client will ask, this is what I want. And I'll say, well, why does it matter? And if they can't tell me why it matters, I know they're not going to take care of it. So much of our conversation is connecting emotionally with what's truly important. And this is such a great skill. This is why I think emotional intimacy work is so important, because the quicker and the more developed we become at connecting with what's important to us on an emotional level, the quicker and the more effective we become at manifesting, if you want to put it that way, or creating it into our lives. So learn who you are. I think it's such an incredible journey. Given that you tuned into this podcast, you're already on this journey. I think we can continue to bring our awareness back to it over and over and over again. I feel like I'm now reinventing myself every 8 to 12 months. I was having a call with a client just yesterday, and he's going through maybe a first identity shift after 27 years. And I think that's incredible. I predict that he's going to be going through an identity shift now every couple of years. It's going to speed up the more we lean into that, connecting with yourself. So how do we do it? Well, the answers to finding out who you are always contained within the reality that we've been hiding from. So I've spoken about this in previous episodes, being prepared to face your reality. And then to find out what you're made of. And I think it's really challenging. It must be one of the most challenging things that we can do as humans. I think this is why most people are avoiding it. And so the key here is don't go it alone. Bring someone else along, whether it's a coach or an advisor or a friend or someone that's been down this journey or this path before, that can not tell you what to do and, you know, maybe share their experience for validation, but like ultimately you have to find your own path, but at least they can put the arm around you metaphorically and say, okay, I'm not going to leave you. We're going to go through this together, because it's scary shit. So step number two is knowing your outcome and why it matters for who you're becoming. Like, really consider that we're all becoming someone the moment we're born. As soon as we pop out into this world, we're becoming someone. But none of us really know that until we become aware of it. And so we're at the effect of, you know, rightfully so, as children of our parents, are our caretakers, and then by the teachers at school, and then by our employers in life, and then the government and society and our peers, and they're all determining a version of us. Now, once we become aware that we're becoming someone all the time, well, with that awareness, now we can have more of a say in the matter. We can start making a decision on who it is that we're becoming. We can start defining the outcomes that it is that we want in life. Because without a defined outcome, all you can really use is hope. You know, I hope this will happen. Or the other one is a whatever happens strategy. I see that all the time, going, okay, well, I think it takes courage to put the stake in the sand and say, this is what I'm going after, because there's a sense of vulnerability in it. And for a lot of people, I think if we don't hit that mark, then it will create a sense of failure or maybe shame. Go, oh, I didn't get it. I didn't win. Versus the perspective going, wow, I set my target really high. I achieved 70% of that. That's epic. I'm so much better off for it. But yeah, if you don't define your outcome, it's the perfect excuse, which a lot of people use. Ah, well, I was kind of hoping or wishing to get that, didn't get it, but it's okay because I wasn't really trying. I think a lot of people use that. So when you know where you want to be heading and what's important, just think about it. Decision making becomes easy. A lot of people have challenges making decisions because they don't really know what it is that they want. But just think about it. If you're really emotionally connected to what it is that you want, where it is that you're heading, and you've got a couple of different options, all you have to do is look at going, well, which option is going to lead me to the outcome that's most important to me right now, and where it is that I'm at right now. Not what used to be, or not what could be 5 years from now, but for where I'm at now, in the next 6 or 12 months, or whatever it is. It starts becoming easy, or needing to get that outcome before we can get the next outcome. I think that's really important as well. We don't always get what we want right away, because there's a few things that we need to learn and develop before we get the outcome that it is that we want. So how do we implement this step? It's such a great thing. I meditate on this. I journal on this. I do a lot of work on this personally all the time, and probably getting more and more frequent and well-equipped with doing this, is connecting how you want your future to not just look, but how you want your future to feel. How do you want it to sound like? How are you experiencing life? The types of people that are part of it. Then design the version of yourself. And this is the missing piece for, I think, a lot of people, is then design a version of yourself that will be required to live that life. Because it's easy to go and wish that you wanted a future that looks this way, and you feel full of whatever the emotions and the internal experiences that you want, and you know, it sounds a certain way with applause and gratitude and, you know, all the people going, wow, thank you so much. You made such a big impact in my life. And it's easy to dream all of that. But then we need to design the version of ourselves that's capable and able to create that. That's the hard part. Well, it's not the hard part. You can design that. I think the challenging part is then going, oh, well, that's a big deal. I'm going to have to, it's going to require going and doing some things. Going learning some things, really developing what my attributes and behaviors and characteristics are going to be, what my attitudes are, what my standards and expectations, knowing how to film, create and take care of my own needs and communicate some boundaries. Doing all of that requires work and effort, and that's why this is a lifetime journey. But again, none of that can happen until we have this conversation of going, how is your future self going to be? And so then the third criteria is developing the mindset. And that's just what I mentioned, is to support you on your path, attributes, characteristics, standards, expectations, beliefs, values. We can be intentional about all of these things. And I think for beliefs don't necessarily have to be a hard thing to change. They can be. With deep coaching, you're able to shift these deep ingrained beliefs. But one of the things that has really helped me, the simplicity of just act as if. For me, I feel like I wasn't taught or demonstrated maybe compassion from from a male in my life. So I didn't know how to do it as a male, being masculine and demonstrating compassion. I was kind of missing that. And so when I realized it, one of the first things I did is, well, how would I act if I was compassionate right now? And it was kind of just using my logical mind to tell me, okay, well, this is what I needed to do. So walking down the road, I saw a homeless person. I'm like, well, I don't feel compassion, but what if I just acted as if I was compassionate? I was like, huh, well, if I was acting as if I was compassionate, maybe I'd consider if that person was hungry, and if they were hungry, maybe I could go and buy them a $5 Subway. Huh, well, there's Subway across the road. Maybe I'll go and do that. I went and brought them a $5 Subway. And you know what the result of that was? I remember that day. It was a beautiful day. I walked around the corner. I was so proud of myself. And I felt it just turned on so much emotion within me. I stood on the side of the street and cried happy tears for myself that I was just like, wow, I just demonstrated compassion. And I felt compassion for that person, but compassion for myself as well, for the courage that that took. So they are the three criteria in how to navigate uncertainty, make decisions in the face of challenges. You know, like go back and write these down if you need to. Just learn who you are and connect with yourself. Know your outcome and why it matters for who you're becoming, and then develop the mindset required. And maybe not even the mindset, just develop you and who you need to become. And then, of course, yeah, if you've got a coach, you've got someone that you're working with or help, someone that can help you guide you down this path, that can ask you the questions that you don't know that you need to be asking yourself, it's a really great place to start. Watch how your life will start to change and you'll become more courageous in the direction of that you want to be heading in and getting the results, more of the results that you want to be getting as well. So I hope and I trust that you've loved this episode. Stay tuned. Got an epic guest, possibly one of the, probably the biggest guest yet in the very next episode. So stay tuned. Next week, we're going to be releasing a really fantastic episode. Tune in. We'll see you there. And as always, subscribe, like, post the feedback. Let me know what you loved about it. And we'll see you again soon.